Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath to you all. I hope the gas shortage didn't keep anybody from services, but it could very well have. Well, if you want a title for my little message this afternoon, it is called Taking My Love Temperature. You know, today in our modern culture, love is a word used mostly in the relationships between men and women. A true love relationship has more meaning than that. And I like to quote from the book written by Mr. Herbert Armstrong, The Mission, Dimension, and Sex, in which he talks about the ideas that the Greek give to the word love. The Greeks have three words for love, which they define love more accurately. These words, they are eros, philia, and agape. And quoting from the book, The Missing Dimension in Sex, quote, first is agape, which is moral or spiritual love. This is the love God expresses toward humanity. It is the divine spiritual love supplied by God's Holy Spirit. The natural, unconverted man does not have this love, but God longs to fill him with it if he will surrender and believe. Still quoting, second is philia or Philadelphia, two related forms. This is the love of friendship, brotherly love, love of parent or child. And third is eros, which refers to sexual love between husband and wife. Eros is a love expressed physically, not spiritually, end quote. Then Mr. Armstrong goes on, and he defined all these acts of love as unselfish, outgoing concern for the good and welfare of the one loved. Love is being unselfish toward God and others. But how can we know we have love in our hearts? What is love? The keeping of the commandments, God tells us. 1 John 5 and verse 3. Let's go and read that. 1 John 5 and verse 3. Starting in verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandment. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. A sermon that I gave not too long ago, I did concentrate on, emphasize the first love, and that was taken out of the first part of the book of Revelations, where they are admonished by Jesus Christ to rekindle that first love that they first had when they began to believe. But today, tomorrow being Pentecost, I thought it'd be good that we look at something connected with the Holy Spirit. And tomorrow the Holy Spirit, I'm sure, will be emphasized. But today let's look at one of the fruits of the Spirit. And that fruit of the Spirit is agape love, and see how we measure up. A lot of places we go to today, they want to take your temperature because of COVID. Today, let's look at our love temperature to see how it's doing. Usually, people will naturally love those who they are associated with, such as their family, their club, even their church group. Again, this is what the Greeks call philia. With this foregoing definitions, when we look at some of the club members of the time of Jesus Christ when he was on the earth, we say they had Philadelphia love as well. We are told to love one another, not just the ones that are near and dear to us, but even those we consider our enemy. This is where godly love comes in. Let's go to Matthew 5:43 and look at something that Christ was quoting on that nature. Jesus Christ came with a certain purpose in mind, and that purpose was to reveal the Father, and we know that the Father is love. Matthew 5 and verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be, sons of your Father in heaven. And as I said, God is love, and we want to be children of love, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collector do the same? Yeah, the tax collectors and others of that society were in the same club, more or less. And so they showed Philadelphia love to one another. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So the publicans had love for one another. Love is supposed to be the hallmark of the body of Christ. And this is how we are to show that we are Christ's disciples, God's children, if we display love for one another, and especially for those that are brothers in Christ. Galatians 6:10, we won't go there, but you can put that in your notes. Excuse me. Speaking about the end time, we are warned. Clear my throat a little bit. Speaking about the end time, we are warned by Jesus Christ that the love of many would grow cold due to lawlessness. Matthew 24:12. We see it around us every day. Recently, my wife and I experienced such an episode of this close up and firsthand. We had just finished our noon prayer when the doorbell rang, and going to the door, we found this distraught, helpless young lady with a little boy in her arms running from an abusive relationship in the neighborhood. We found that she had this relationship 3 years. They met on social media and were not married. She ran away from him once before, but after insisting that he would change, she came back only to experience more abuse. Your heart just goes out to people like that. We can certainly say that this relationship started out lawlessness. There was no genuine agape love in the relationship. They had eros, but nothing more. She was impressed by his status as an engineer and his possessions. He lived in a big, fine house and a real nice car. But she came to realize that those things do not tell whether a man knows how to love a woman. True love between a man and woman needs to be based on more than just enjoyment of the senses, more than just eros alone. The relationship should be based on a willingness to accept one another first in a God-ordained marital relationship. And that marital relationship, God intended for it to be the basis of our relationship between Christ and the church, our relationship between ourselves and God. Just as God lovingly sacrifices life for the church, so it is in marriage with the husband toward the wife. Ephesians 5:25 tells us that. Now, you young people, speaking directly to young people right now, you young people need to be careful of allowing yourselves to be duped by people using social media, because there are many misguided people lacking love in their hearts, and are using this platform to prey on others' feelings. They don't have the love of Christ in their minds. I touched on agape earlier in the beginning of this message, but this is the fruit that transcends all the fruits of the Spirit. God tells us love is the greatest fruit of the Spirit. Love is the perfect keeping of God's law. We are told to pursue love. That is godly love. The natural carnal mind does not want to pursue love, but wants to pursue what is selfishness. Now let's go to Galatians 5:19. God does give us a good idea of those things that are contrary to love, what Jesus Christ came to try to teach us about. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, and on the list goes, which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and on it goes. Love being the greatest of those fruits. It's natural to be selfish. It is not natural to love one whom we consider our enemy. However, this is what God requires of us. Let's go to Luke 9, and we'll see another lesson. We'll see a lesson that God is trying to teach the apostles at the time he was here on earth. Matthew, Mark, Luke 9. And we'll begin in we'll first look at verse 51 and 54. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? Jesus Christ is trying to teach them about love. And oftentimes he used the Samaritans to do just that, the people that the Jews normally hated. Jesus was intent on following the plan, his plan for salvation. The plan was based on love, not just for the Jews, but for all mankind. He did not allow himself to be distracted. Here we see the disciples, mainly James and John, the sons of thunder, they are called. But this was part of their training. I've been rebuked myself. Even recently, I received a mild rebuke when I expressed that Atlanta was overdue for a correction. But and it's good that we are rebuked, because God says he rebuked those whom he loved, right? So it's good that we are rebuked. I'm not there yet, brethren, just like a lot of us. But we need to be careful that we don't have the same attitude that's shown here. Now, this incident was not long after the disciples had been given power over demons, the ability to heal and to preach the gospel. If we go back to Luke 9 and verse 1 through 3, we'll see where the disciples were sent out, given power over authority over demons to cure diseases, sent to preach the God, kingdom of God, to heal the sick, and he said to them, take nothing, and so forth and so forth. But they still didn't quite get it. Perhaps they thought, since Jesus Christ gave them the power to heal the sick, power over demons, like Elijah did in 2 Kings 1. Maybe they thought it was time for them to call down fire from heaven, take care of these Samaritans, get rid of them. But Jesus Christ told James and John, the sons of thunder, that this was not the time to call down fire from heaven. This was and is the time to save life. Now, of course, being Samaritans to the apostles, this was a good way for them to be dealt with, though. The Samaritans, as we know, were not very friendly toward the Jews and vice versa. If you will notice, Jesus used the Samaritans more than once to teach about love to the disciples. Continuing in verse 10 on Luke 9. Continuing in verse 10 on Luke 9. And the apostle, when they had returned, told him all that they had done, talking about how the power that they had used that Christ gave them. He took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But going back to verse 51 and 54. When the disciples James saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And he went to another village. Let's extrapolate this situation. You know, Jesus Christ meant to show love to all men, not just to those who were with him. And he was trying to teach that same thing to the apostles. If he had allowed them to rain down fire on the Samaritans at this time, we look further into the Bible in the book of Acts, chapter 8, we see the Samaritans received the word of God. And just think, if they had been wiped out like the apostles thought to do, how could they have been saved? So how do you and I rate when it comes to love? First of all, love should be directed toward God. John 14 and verse 15. Without God's love, we really don't have a leg to stand on, so to speak. We got God's love. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees it nor knows it. But you know it, for it dwells with you and will be in you. And skip it down to verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And further down to verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So, brethren, the very basis of love, then, is the keeping of God's commandments. And that love comes only from God. Let's go to the love chapter we all know about, 1 Corinthians 13. And we will take our love temperature just to see how we are doing. 1 Corinthians 13. Spiritual gifts are to be desired. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 tells us that. And the Corinthians did have a few spiritual gifts. Matter of fact, they were had spiritual gifts that they were so proud of, they boasted about them. But if the spiritual gifts are not used with a motive of love, what good are they? What if we are able to prophesy or conversant in many languages? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, 1. not 1 Corinthians 14, 1, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 13. And verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clinging cymbal. What if we are able to prophesy or conversant in many languages? If it's not done in love, what good is it? Even if we had the language of angels. I don't know what language angels have. I've never spoken with an angel. I don't know about you. But even if they had the language of angels and we didn't do it with love, it is not important. It is more important if you want to prophesy or try to teach people, as I'm trying to do right now. It is more important, according to God's word here, it's more important to express proper love by exhorting and encouraging others. It is more important not to beat people across the head with the truth. I can remember back in the days of Worldwide Church of God, we had this one particular minister, won't call his name, but it seemed like every time you came to Sabbath services, you were being beat across the head with the truth. And it was not profitable, in a sense, for growth. What if we had perfect knowledge and understood mysteries in the faith to move mountains? Go down through here in verse 2. It is more loving to work together with others, talk about what I am learning and from the Bible, so that my focus is bigger than myself. Going down to verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Opposite of patience is impatience and being inconsiderate of others. We can show a lack of patience, a lack of being considerate of others in our voice as well as in our actions. It is more loving to give to others the benefit of the doubt. You know, maybe I just didn't quite get what they were saying, or maybe I didn't have it exactly right about what my mate is trying to get across to me, and being impatient and unloving toward her. Verse 3, going back up to verse 3. Although I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. There are many who have much in this world goods, and it's good that they do give. A lot of times they sacrifice. But a lot of times they give it in an attitude of promoting or bringing attention to a certain personal agenda that they have, or certain ideas that they want to get across. And then there are those who make the ultimate sacrifice of laying down their life in warfare of others. There was an active duty soldier recently who was indicted for storming the Capitol. Was this out of love, or was it for another reason? And let's go down to verse 5. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. Am I intent on having it my way all the time and not willing to compromise? Is not provoked. Do I let things get under my skin easily? Thinks no evil. Do I push out evil thoughts by resisting Satan's fiery darts? We see this all the time in the society today. Because of a diet of lawlessness in our society, we see many pressing and agreeing with the wrong arguments. There are many things slanted according to a particular ideology, a particular movement, or religion in our world today. We really need to pray to God that God help us to have clear vision about what is right and wrong and what needs to be done. We should be seeing beyond what we hear being said, promoted, or reported in this world society with the filter of a love of the truth. Verse 7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Whatever is going on in my life and the life of others, we're exhorted to be strong, realizing that there is always an answer to every problem, and we don't always have the answer. Jesus Christ set the right example for us. He taught his disciples by word and by example. You know, we didn't see Jesus Christ's life example that he displayed to his apostles as he laid down his life in real time before them. But today we rely on God's Spirit leading us to the Word of God. And in God's Word, the attitude of love is brought out because God is love. Do we know the Word of God or just think we do? Better said, do we have the love of God or just think we do? The world rewards valiant acts of love and sacrifice with medals, awards, honors, and even monuments. God offers so much more. Whether we seek after Eros, whether we seek after Philadelphia or agape, let's be sure we seek after agape love above all else, because agape is the perfect keeping of God's love.